It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
This is the Fox News Rundown Extra. I'm Dave Anthony. Today, a focus on the border, where once again, a record has been set. More migrants have been encountered by agents crossing into the U.S. illegally in December than any month ever, close to 300,000. And that doesn't even include the gotaways who are seen crossing but not stopped. Republicans in Congress call it a crisis, holding up a bill to provide military aid to Israel and Ukraine unless it includes stricter border policies. Now, the other day, Secretary of State Antony Blinken and the head of Homeland Security Alejandro Mayorkas went to Mexico, and they said they had productive talks with President Andres Manuel Lopez Obrador, and more talks are planned in the coming week. Now, for the Rundown podcast that went out Thursday, we talked to Fox's William Lajeunesse, who's based in L.A., but has been at the border covering this crisis many times. He's even gone deep into Mexico talking to some of these migrants who come here. Now, our conversation was too long to include in Thursday's segment, but today we can let you hear it all. And we thank you for coming, as always, for the final Rundown Extras of the year this weekend. And we hope you keep coming back in 2024. Have a safe and happy new year. And now William Lajeunesse on the Fox News Rundown Extra. Joining us again on the Fox News Rundown is William Lajeunesse, Fox News senior national correspondent based out of Los Angeles, certainly watching very closely the situation at the U.S. southern border, where we've seen a record wave again of illegal immigration. And on Wednesday, Secretary of State Antony Blinken and Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas went down to Mexico talking to the President Manuel Lopez Obrador about the situation and the migrant crisis and all of that. First of all, William, thanks very much for joining us again.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it.
So these talks, what does the White House hope to achieve with this visit?
So the White House is basically asking Mexico to do something we have not done ourselves, which is deport asylum seekers. Once they get here, as you know, there are certain protections under U.S. law that entitles them to an immigration hearing. However, if they never get here, then that's something we have to worry about. So the White House is asking Mexico to do several things because, frankly, the border right now, despite what they say, is not secure, is out of control. It's chaotic. We've seen the pictures. Don't believe the White House. It's not true. So what do they want? Number one, we want Mexico to resume deportation flights and buses that they have, both from the interior, but as well as at the border. You've seen the pictures. We have migrants camped out along the south side of the fence. They're in shelters in Tijuana and Matamoros. Mexico used to do some deportation, but they ran out of money several months ago. So we want them to resume those flights and those buses, taking people back down to Central America, dropping them in Guatemala or other Central American countries.
Okay.
Number two. There is something known, and I've been on three of these caravans before, originating in El Salvador as well as Guatemala. And you begin walking, you walk, but after a while, you know, walking is very tiring. So you look for one of two things. You look to hitch a ride on an 18-wheeler, get in a bus. And when I say a bus, they aren't like the big tourism buses we have here. They're usually basically vans that people use there. Get in a van. Pay some money, or you jump on the Beast, which is a train. And there are several different rail lines that are north-south that you can get on. And those trains, they obviously have to slow down or stop at different points to pick up more cars. And they're loaded with migrants. So we want Mexico to start throwing people off the train. I mean, not literally, but yes,
right,
kind of literally.
Right. Well, we've seen pictures of that. They just ride on top in some cases. Is
they
that
ride
correct?
Them on top. They ride between the cars. If there's any door open, you get in the bed of the rail car. It doesn't matter. I mean, this thing's going, you know, 40, 50 miles an hour. It's the fastest way to and cheapest way to get to the United States. So In the past, Mexico has policed those at the yards where they know these things are going to stop or slow down because of a turn, but typically where they stop. I've been in several. I can't even remember the name of the towns. But anyways, yeah, you'll find the migrants basically sleeping under a stop train. And when it gets going, boop, you hop on and off they go.
Hey, it's Clay Travis. Join me for Outkick the Show as we dive deep into a mix of topics. New episodes available Monday to Friday on your favorite podcast platform. And watch directly on outkick.com/watch.
Now, some of these border crossings, William, last week, several days ago, we had closed in Eagle Pass and in El Paso entry to some of these trains into the U.S. That has been reopened. But that becomes another issue because you are dealing with trade. And I know in Nebraska they were upset because they export a lot of soybeans and corn down to Mexico. So that's another issue.
Well, that actually is one of the reasons that precipitated this trip. So all of a sudden, the Mexican Chamber of Commerce essentially went to the AMLO administration and said, listen, we're losing $100 million a day in commerce because of all the maquiladoras as well as other exports coming from Mexico into the U.S. They're our largest trading partner, right? Or we're their largest trading partner thereafter Mexico. But nevertheless, they were losing money, and you're right. We were shipping corn and sorghum and alfalfa south to feed their livestock. And so suddenly businessmen on both sides of the border said, hey, you know, there's one thing about these immigrants. Don't care about them so much. We're losing money. So that was part of the impetus for this. Okay, number three, we want them to increase the number of interior checkpoints. Again, I've been there. There are a number of different spots like a toll booth on Mexican freeways where they'll put Mexican immigration agents backed up by police or federales and they go get off the truck, right? You know, because you got semis, you got 18-wheelers, you got dump trucks, you got all kinds of trucks with people either in them or hanging on top of them. So put in these checkpoints to make the migrants get off. They got a bus over there on the side of the road. Get in the bus. We're taking you back. Third or fourth or lastly, there are these. To get through Mexico legally, you need something called a permiso. It's a visa. It's good for 90 days and allows you to travel in Mexico, quote, legally. So we're asking Mexico to stop issuing these permisos for the Cubans, the Haitians, for anybody else who's trying to go through Mexico legally. Otherwise, the police can stop you anywhere, take you off, rip you off, throw you back. But if you have a permiso, you're good for 90 days. So Mexico has been limiting, and we would like them to stop or limit the number of visas they give to allow people to transit Mexico. Hundreds of thousands of people use Mexico. It's a highway. It's a freeway of migrants every day, right? So we look at these caravans and go, oh my God, there's 15,000 people here. You know what? There are tens of thousands of migrants traveling in Mexico every day, and they're not in a caravan, but they get here anyway.
Now, the caravan that has been talked about, it started just several days ago, that has up to 10,000 people in it. But as you mentioned, right. I mean, we had more than 10,000 cross the southern border, setting a record in one day just last week.
Right, right. So what happens, and I'll tell you how these caravans work. They gain people. The farther they go north, especially at least, I'll put it this way, into central Mexico, because a migrant generally has to pay a smuggler. It depends on where they contract with them at these plazas and these little towns and so forth. There's usually a cartel recruiter there. You want to go to Chicago, give me 10 grand and I'll make sure you get there. And the cartel will make sure your transportation's okay. But if you don't want to pay the guy, you're going to eventually pay the cartel as you get closer to the border. But these caravans allow people to move en masse. And the Mexican police can't pick them off. Because I've been at the head of the spear, if you will, with these caravans. And up ahead, there'll be Mexican police or military with riot garb and shields and guns and batons. And they're going to have to break this up. Well, you know what you do? You put the women and the children at front and you prevent that violence. Mexico does not want the video going out around the world especially in Latin America, of Mexican police beating people with batons. So it doesn't happen. So as that caravan can move north en masse in kind of a protective way, it also saves you money because you don't have to pay the cartel until you get closer to the border. Now, once you get to Tijuana or the RGV or Reynosa or El Paso, you're going to have to pay money to get across the border, but I can save you a few thousand by walking in the caravan.
Okay, so you talk about being there, seeing all this. How do they get fed? These migrants, I mean, they come here, they don't have a lot. How do they eat all the way as they go through Mexico? What happens?
Well, believe it or not, some bring some money. They sleep on cardboard outside in parks. I mean, it's a horrible life. It's a horrible way to get by. There's no sanitation. It's horrible. There are often volunteers and restaurants that will put out money for the migrants. There's a great affinity and sympathy and empathy for these individuals. And so you'll go to these little towns and the caravan will be outnumber the town, 5-1, but the town will produce food and put it out, not just at shelters and churches, but even around the town square. And in most of these cases, there's a square, and migrants can get free food, if you will, that way.
Well, that's incredible. And as you talk about the sympathy and the empathy, that might make it a little more difficult for Mexico's president. I mean, what does he want out of these talks with the U.S.?
Well, the peculiar part, and this didn't, it makes some sense because if I was down there, 4 years ago for AMLO's election or whatever it was, the presidents in Mexico get 1 6-year term. He comes from the hard left politically. He was good friends with Chavez of Venezuela. What he's asking for in return, and I'm sure there's more, there's money, obviously.
Right.
If I'm going to do this, you're going to pay me. And frankly, it's cheaper for the U.S. to pay Mexico to do its dirty work than for us to do it, frankly. But besides the point, he wants the U.S. to lift sanctions with Cuba and Venezuela. He wants to normalize relations within the Americas. And he sees himself as a leader. I mean, Mexico is the largest country within Latin America until you get down to South America, per se. But technically, they have more influence, if you will, than the smaller Central American countries. And if he feels that he can regularize migration and relations with Cuba, Venezuela, Mexico, and the rest of Central America, that's a good thing.
Is that partly, you think, why, William, we just had a prisoner swap with Venezuela?
Oh, I thought the prisoner swap was more about oil.
Okay.
But I don't know.
Okay. All right. I know that we're trying to have freer and fairer elections in Venezuela and supposedly President Maduro down there is allowing that, but I didn't know if Mexico's president was behind the scenes on that.
What I could say on that, though, is it's possible in lifting some of the sanctions from Venezuela, what we would have wanted in return is stop your people from coming to our country. Because, I mean, there's, as you know, a mass exodus from people from Venezuela. Their economy is horrible. There's no jobs. There's a dozen reasons to leave Venezuela and coming to America. And we had to give them temporary protected status, communist country. They weren't taking their people back. I definitely think, as well as potentially oil, there is an immigration element to that as well.
And one last thing, when it comes to all the border crossings we report in the record surge, there's a lot of gotaways. A lot of migrants we don't even know and we don't keep track of. I mean, always there's a backlog of immigration court dates for the people who do get allowed to go into the U.S. But what about those who we don't know about?
Well, what about them? There's hundreds of thousands of gotaways. So I've been in these, spent a lot of time on the border and been in the command center, if you will, where it's a huge room and there are hundreds of TV monitors on the wall. And then there are like dozens of guys sitting around the computers and we're looking at these and there are hundreds of cameras across the border, right? And they're automatic and they slew back and forth. And when they get a hit on movement It will stop. It will zoom in on what that is. Is it a deer? Is it a rabbit? Or is it a human? And then we have thousands of sensors across the border as well. So we know when people are coming in, it doesn't mean we can go get them. Number one, you're busy, you know, handing out diapers, processing people, and you're doing 15 other things. There's only X number of guys per shift. I think Malusian reported last week we had like one agent for 500 people in Lukeville.
That's amazing. I mean,
and so guess what? Lots of people are getting in, and they're in these remote areas, in the canyons, in the arroyos, in the mountains, and we can't get them. It's hard enough as it is when you've got, you know, drones and full manpower and jeeps to get out there and meet them at these certain roads to interdict them. But when you got nobody and you're just busy transporting people, it's a free-for-all.
William Lajeunesse, Fox News senior national correspondent based in L.A., of course, been to the border and in Mexico numerous times. Great to hear all the stories and the info. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, you bet. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. And now, stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen ad-free on Fox News Podcasts Plus on Apple Podcasts. And Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on Amazon Music. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com.
Pull up a chair and join me, Rachel Campos Duffy.
And me, former U.S. Congressman Sean Duffy, as we share our perspective on the discussions happening at kitchen tables across America.
Download From the Kitchen Table, The Duffys, at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you download podcasts.
I'm Guy Benson. Join me weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern as we break down the biggest stories of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers and guests. Listen live on the Fox News app or get the free podcast at GuyBensonShow.com.